Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
from Janus to hip hop,
from San Francisco to the sock hop,
we're going to a place that loves a killer hook.
We're going to Patrick's Book Nook.
Okay, we have a rare sort of moment of quiet here with the dog. Mm-hmm. He's actually relaxing mm-hmm. on the floor here in the basement, and this seems like an ideal time then to talk about books. That's what you do.
Great idea.
Talk about
quiet.
Books.
It's yes. Quiet time.
That's right.
Be very quiet.
It's kind of hard to do things like read in this house because it's like, you know, it's like having a kid. It's like, what are you doing? What is that? Can I have that?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I want to eat
what
that.
Is that? What do you have there in your hands?
Why
what's going
you,
on?
Why aren't you paying attention to me instead of that object?
Yeah. Exactly. But we do the Book Nook from time to time, Patrick's Book Nook, and we're going to do that here today on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we do, let's talk about the live show, which would be like, if you're listening to this in real time, it would be tomorrow, Wednesday, March 4th, live show. We're going to talk about The Who. We're going to count down songs. People contributed their top 10 lists, listeners did, and we made a big master list. I had a hard time making my top 10, but I finally did. I made the final cuts.
Great. That's exciting.
Ready. And okay. So we're going to do the countdown. We're going to talk about great Who songs. We're going to allow people who come to the show and the audience to talk about their favorite Who songs mm-hmm. and what have you and get on the show. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to do a speed PowerPoint presentation of all 26 of my Who records and tell you the brief story of their history.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because they put out like 12 studio albums.
I know. I may have more by the time the show comes around.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this, that's going to be a lot of fun. You can get tickets at jamandjava.com. Recently, we did some shows on Concert Regrets. You don't want this to be the show you missed. You don't want to be sitting there saying, I should have gone. God dang it.
That's right.
Go. Just come to the show.
Come to the show. All right.
Yeah.
Wednesday, March 4th.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. At Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia, which is the DC suburbs. If you're not familiar, if you're anywhere in the area, come on down. It'll be a lot of fun. Hope to see you there.
To the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's a Kindle?
Okay, now, what books are we going to talk about today? We have one book, we have multiple
two books.
Two
so
books.
I'm going to briefly touch on two books that I recently read. The first one is a pretty new book, given to me at Christmas time. It's called Janus, Her Life in Music, written by Holly George Warren, who also wrote an excellent book about Alex Chilton titled A Man Called Destruction that I highly recommend you read as well. It's excellent. Excellent book. Have you read that one? It's real good.
I have it.
Yeah.
It's I haven't gotten read. To it yet.
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay, so I will.
Now, this book is especially interesting to me because of a lot of things I did not know about Janis Joplin. I really got my eyes opened by this excellent book. One thing that really was going in Holly George Warren's favor, I'd love to interview her sometime if she ever would like to come on our show. She had all the letters written by Janis to her sister. And this was a correspondence that went on for pretty much as soon as Janis left Texas to move to the West Coast and, you know, try to make it as a singer. She was constantly writing to her sister and her family. And so all these letters are reproduced. So you get kind of a log of Janis's inner thoughts. One thing I did not know for someone who is so brash and wild and her songs are so full of life and energy, she was extremely lonely person and very insecure. She was constantly seeking reassurance from people, from anybody. She took reviews that were negative extremely hard. And when she started out playing with Big Brother, you know, that was like the first family that really embraced her. Her father was not someone who approved of her choice of career. She was said some things about her hometown, that it was very like a small town in Texas, and she was, you know, derogatory about it in some interviews, and that alienated her further from her family. And she tried to go back and visit when she had sort of blossomed into this Janis Joplin person from the, you know, sort of person who grew up in Texas. And it was difficult. But this band Big Brother, you know, really was her first real family. And they were not great musicians. This is something I sort of learned. They were often criticized for not playing well. And when Janis was managed by Albert Grossman later in her career, he encouraged her to dump the band. And a lot of people did also. They would often have to bring people in to lead the sessions to play the way, you know, they wanted the record played. And so Janis was very loyal to them and wanted to keep them around as her band for a long time and never let them go. But unfortunately, she finally had to get rid of them and get a different band. And that was a terrible thing. It, you know, it marked kind of her life. And for someone who constantly needed companionship and friendship, that she died alone of an overdose is a terrible, ironic tragedy. It's just awful that that was one of the few times in her whole life she was by herself. And died. There was no one there to revive her. She had overdosed several times, and there was always people there who knew what to do, to, you know, keep her awake, put her in a bathtub, you know, all those things you do to stop that from happening. And she did that to many other people at the time, and it was really heroin that became her solace that took away those lonely feelings. And it's like from a 2D portrait of Janis Joplin to going 3D and living and breathing. That's what this book is like. Wow. So I can't recommend it highly enough. It's just fascinating. I went through it so fast because it was so good.
And when was this published?
I think it came out 2019, but you have to double check there on the flap. Like it says there on the tagline, finally, it's the real Janis Joplin. And to me, it was like that. I just what I knew was kind of based on sort of rumor and legend, and you know, it really wasn't accurate. But also great photographs in there of her, and it's really a great wow. book. She really did a fantastic job on it. But those letters are just so enlightening; they really are.
I just want to. There's about 20 pages of notes and and bibliography.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so there's a lot of research went into this book.
Yeah, it's a really, really good book. And my mother-in-law, who is going to be turning 94 soon, also read it and found it quite interesting. She loves to read. She goes through like a book a day, it seems like, but she loves to read biographies of celebrities, and this is a great one. Huh. It really is.
Interesting that it took this long to
That's
put out
another thing I thought
sort
too.
Of a definitive yeah. Janis Joplin biography, right?
Totally agree with that. There apparently are some books out there, but never with this, the cooperation of the family and all that stuff. So kudos. If you like a good read about history, there's a ton of fun stuff in there about Monterey Pop, and she lived at the height, in San Francisco. She hung around with the dead a lot. And also some funny stories about Janis was extremely promiscuous. Some funny stories about rock stars that she spent the night with, or a couple nights, one being Jim Morrison, who does not come off very well in the book. It's hilarious.
What else we have?
Now, the second book is a book that came out. It's been out for a while, and I found it on my Kindle. It was published in 2014. It's written by Bill Brewster. You may have seen this. It's called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, The History of the Disc Jockey. I got to tell you, Jim, this book was so fascinating because it not only went from like the history of people that actually started playing records on the radio.
What is it called again?
Last Night a DJ Saved My Life.
Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. Uh-huh. Okay.
The History of the Disc Jockey. And there's two passages here that I want to tell you about. And the most fascinating thing about this book for me, I mean, it basically goes from, you know, the early days of disc jockeys on the radio in the 40s and 50s to touching on John Peel and influential people that played records, and then into the entire history of disco and how the DJ suddenly became this different thing, and hip hop too. And here is something I want to read, two things I want to read to you. One, this is talking about the song Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel. To those who heard it at the time, it was a revolutionary moment in the history of music. A record made from nothing more than other records. Mm-hmm. A record made by a DJ. A postmodern collage of existing text. The scratch-filled proof that turntables could be real instruments. Huh. It was the first time hip-hop had captured on record rather than translated. Music's possibilities had been expanded dramatically. So it touches on all these moments like The Loft in New York City and Mancuso and all these DJs that suddenly were playing their themes and stringing records together and making these songs that lasted and, you know, forever. And this is another passage I highlighted that I think you'll find really interesting. Hip hop is portrayed as some mythical disco hating force which came out of nowhere. In fact, it was inexorably linked to disco. It has an important debt to Jamaican reggae, and perhaps most surprisingly, owes part of its practical success to punk rock. So there are a million little nuggets in here like that, and it goes all the way up through trance and hip-hop and house and acid house. And you know, it kind of lost me when it got into the late 20th century, where I was like, I don't even understand what some of this stuff is, you know, these tiny micro genres. But
yeah,
man, is it a fascinating,
that's super interesting
book
to me, because what I know of that era in the 70s in New York was that there was a divide between sort of like the hip-hop scene and the disco scene. Mm-hmm. And disco was also built on DJs, like you said. And there was this guy, DJ Hollywood,
yeah,
who was a big deal.
Yep, totally.
But a lot of it was like socioeconomics more, yep, than anything. Mm-hmm. Really, it was just a matter of, could you afford to get into the disco clubs,
right,
or not?
Right.
And that really determined which scene you were in, more so really than the music. Well, maybe might not have been that different, right?
No, I mean, DJ Cool Herc, we was plugging into a street lamp and,
right,
playing in the, you know, yard of a public school,
right,
at the end of the street. And you know, you've heard about the blackout that hit New York was a big moment for hip hop,
because, right,
people just looted,
yeah,
equipment,
right,
that they couldn't,
and all of a sudden,
afford.
Now they had equipment,
exactly,
and then they could create music, right?
That's, yeah, right. And it also goes into Europe and Ibiza and, you know, the club scene there. But I'll tell you one thing I also learned that was really fascinating. I had no idea how important Detroit was in the history of techno music. I mean, that's essentially where house music came from, is Detroit. And it's really fascinating to me. It's a similar thing. It's an inner city kind of,
right,
powerful music, but it, you know, it's an amazing time when suddenly now you can create and upload your music to the internet for the entire world to hear just by using, you know, a laptop, or,
right,
just by using a phone even. And so it really goes into that evolution of technology as well. It's a massively exhausting researched book, and probably one of the best books I've ever read on music. It just, I learned so much on that book, and I read it about a year ago. And I was rereading it, and I really wanted to talk about it on the Book Nook, because I just think it's such a great achievement. So there's so many great music books out there, but this one is fantastic. Bill Brewster and Frank Broughton are the two guys that worked on it together. So definitely read it. It's a great, great, great book. And I think there's a song called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, and I'm not sure who does
there
it.
There is. It's some disco song, right? But I'm,
yeah,
not sure who did that either.
I also found a lot of really cool old school disco tunes that I had never heard before in my life. So I was able to, you know, really come upon it. I mean, and just to close here, I'll talk about some of the mix, the songs that would be played at The Loft in New York City, which was like the first, you know, real disco, would be, here's an example, Bonnie Bramlett would go into Glad by Traffic, and then into the Doobie Brothers. Added to the mix would be The Temptations' Papa Was a Rolling Stone, War's City Country, or the heavy Afro-funk of Manu Dibango. And you know, it was just incredible. The songs that they were putting together just to keep the beat and the groove going, and it would go from high to low and, you know, up to down. It's really cool.
So this is not necessarily, this is not about like radio DJs.
It starts out talking about that. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of a history of the top 40 DJ, and it goes a little bit into payola and some of those things, but it talks about the evolution of the DJ.
But then it gets into the club DJ and that kind of stuff.
And there's
right?
a great chapter on John Peel talking about how influential he was. Yeah, for sure. Or just people who just played records. And also the pirate radio stations in London are also really cool little section on that.
So a couple things. Number one, does it mention Bob Popick at all? Do we get
I don't know, but I didn't quite get to the end. All right.
The second thing is, though, this is actually very timely when I mentioned radio DJs in a sense, because the major radio, you know, American radio station owner, which is iHeartRadio, just like laid off like a ton of DJs across the country because they're going to like all automated or mostly automated systems now.
Right.
And I mean, the radio DJ has been dying for a long time. Yeah. So maybe this is kind of the final nail in the coffin of all of that. But it's, you know, we have witnessed in our lifetimes, you know, essentially the endangerment and then the extinction of the radio of DJ, the radio, right? DJ. It used to be a deal when we were kids,
Huge. Yeah. I mean, they were celebrities and very influential in what people bought and listened to. But those times are changing, and the DJ is an artist now. So it's pretty amazing.
And that's, you know, and that's part of the evolution, I suppose.
I also did, I never knew about John Peel, and I've read a lot about him, but he used to do these live shows where he was, you know, he would go out and just do his DJ set. He would play records, but he was eternally cranky. So it's funny.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah, it's really a good book. So definitely pick it up.
Will you do a DJ set at the live show that we're doing?
Yes,
will
absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'll...
We didn't think about that.
No, I didn't. Kick my laptop over at the end.
That's right. okay, and then another thought I had when you're talking about these books is maybe we should start a Suburbs Pod like book club, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So when you are going to read a book, you should put out there on the social media, I'm about to read this book.
Ah, that's
we'll
a great idea.
We'll discuss it on an upcoming show.
Okay.
And then we could figure out, do people like send their comments in, or do we have like a Google Hangout kind of a thing?
I love this.
And everybody can kind of talk about.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yeah, why not?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I love it. I love talking about books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know,
tweet
that out when you got a new book coming up.
We'll do.
You know, people who want to participate can also read that book, right?
And it should be a music book, though.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, you know, it's up to you.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim. I mean, really,
you know,
quick.
It could be Naked Lunch if you want or something. I don't know.
Finally, I want to get through Ulysses this year.
That's right.
I've started it 3 times and never finished it. Here's a book I just found on Amazon. And it is called Liverpool, The History of Football, Popular Music, and Extraordinary Success. So it mixes the
there
football and the music together.
All right. So let people know.
Okay.
We will
haven't started it yet.
Engage with people. Okay. All right. So there you go. A couple of good books. The Janis Joplin and the DJ book.
Yeah.
All right. If anybody has any comments on those, if you have read those, you want to comment on them now, you can call
612-440-1984.
Or email rock@suburbspod.com or... comment on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to send me or Jim free books, two copies, you can send those to us. The place to send them is 800 West Broad Street, P.O. Box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia, 22040. And you can find that address on our website, too. If you go to suburbspod.com, just hit the contact button right there at the top. You can get the address to where to send stuff. But, if anybody has a book, you know, I talked about Michael Bloomfield's book, and the people at University of Texas Press were nice enough to send that to me. So anybody who's published a book and wants me to read it, I'll read it.
And speaking of books, we're going to give away at the WHO event a couple of copies of Mark Wilkerson's book about Pete Townsend.
Great. That's right. So, free giveaways.
That's
the show tomorrow.
All right.
One other thing, too, an idea, Jim. What about the Suburbs Pod Encyclopedia? So we could have, you know, features of listeners and many facts and figures about our show.
Maybe.
Like a scrapbook.
Maybe.
That's it.
Well,
Suburbs Pod scrapbook.
Until that happens, in the meantime, sign up for our newsletter.
That's a better idea.
There you go. Yep. Go to suburbspod.com and click on newsletter, and then just put your email address in there. And then once a week, free in your inbox, you'll get our weekly newsletter, which includes Listener of the Week.
It does. And you sometimes you'll get it twice if somebody sends out an errant one that was supposed to be a test
to
himself.
Yeah. Hey, it's just more. What's wrong with that?
More effort.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's go on to tomorrow's show.
Sounds good.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Unable to be the Lizard King.